Obviously, you've picked up the idea that we're focusing this morning on those that have graduated, those that have completed our Sunday school program, and there are those in attendance that are slowly coming to an end of their school year. And it's great honor to be able to speak to students who have progressed really well. I don't want to cause undue embarrassment, but it's also a delight for me to see Craig Fraser here this morning. And we realize that he has also, by God's grace, graduated from a very successful program, and we wish you well, Craig. I also want to convey a gratitude today, if we never do this enough, but a gratitude to our Sunday school ministry, the leadership of Lois Daring, the teachers, the helpers, you parents that are invested in your children, that weekly follow up with those lessons and you apply them in your home, you sing those songs and you ask those questions. You are all part of a great ministry here in our church. We value our Sunday school program. If I mentioned the name Dr. Russell Moore, many of you would not know that name. But Dr. Moore was once the Dean of Theology at Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He's now engaged in other ministries, very active in cultural and political concerns, a very highly educated and esteemed individual. Some years ago I read a quote by Dr. Russell, and he said this: "I've often said that I wouldn't want to have to choose between my seminary education and my childhood years in Sunday school. But if forced, I would choose Sunday school each time." Now that's saying something, since I believe so strongly in seminary education and gave most of my ministry to it. I'd never want to give that up. But as important as theological education was for me, Sunday school was even more so. He wrote that many, many years ago, and it was by one of those God circumstances that I was listening to him being interviewed just this week. And the interviewer asked him the question, "Where would you like to preach if you had the opportunity to preach anywhere in the world?" Now, this was after hearing that Dr. Moore was this summer going to be preaching at All Saints Church, the church that Dr. John Stott served so faithfully in England for many years, a very highly esteemed fellowship of believers. But in answer to the question, where would you like to preach if you wanted to, could preach anywhere in the world you wanted to, and his answer was, "I'd like to preach in my home church and attend my home Sunday school." I hope that those words are just giving a hint of how much we value the teaching of our youth, both in youth ministry and in our Sunday school programs, and what you parents involve yourselves with on a regular teacher. Quoting somebody less famous, and certainly not as capable in many ways as Dr. Moore, your pastor has said something for many years. And I've said this, that the hardest teaching assignment in the church is Sunday school. I openly confess to you that it is not as difficult to preach and teach adults, to be involved in small groups with adults and adult fellowships. The hardest task of teaching is given to our Sunday school teachers. The most important task. So I want you to know how much I esteem you, and we esteem you this morning as you end another year of teaching. Some of the best teachers in the world are Sunday school teachers. Men and women that get down on their knees face to face with our children and tell them the stories of Jesus. You amaze me. You do what I can't do well at all. And so I honor you this morning. I want to speak particularly to students. Students in school. Students in our Sunday school. To those of you who are considered our students. I want to speak to you primarily. So we're going to do a little role reversal. Mom and Dad, you can draw on the paper. Students, you listen to me, no matter how old you are or young you are. I'm going to talk to you about what I think is the most important word in the Bible and the most important word that a student should know, a Christian should know. And that's the word continue. Small word, but I would think, even as someone who loves to study theology, I think it's the most important word that a Christian can get to know, the word continue. So let's pray and ask God to help us consider that important word this morning. Our Heavenly Father, as we go into your word, as we preach your word, we do ask that the glory of Christ will surface. We ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to give us understanding and application to this text of Scripture. We depend upon you. We need you. We need you in an overall sense to focus our minds because we know that true worship is when our minds are focused and our heart's affections are directed towards you, Lord Jesus. And we need your help to do that. There's so many things that we can think about, and there's so many things that we delight in and enjoy. But for this moment, I would ask for a special anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, that our mind's attention and our heart's affection would be on you and your word. And I pray that you would sincerely bless the teachers and parents, helpers and staff, students and children, both here and those that could not be here this morning. And Father, even as the psalmist prayed, we pray for the generation that is not here yet. We pray that they too will come to know these truths and embrace them. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can see by the slide, students, that my text this morning, the verse of Scripture that I'm looking at, is from chapter 3, which Pastor Josh read in 2 Timothy, verse 14. Reading from the ESV, "But as for you, continue," there's that word, "continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it." Knowing from whom you learned it. The word continue, as I said, I think it's the most important Christian word. It's the most important word we need to learn as Christians. Continue. It means to persist in an activity. It means to keep on keeping on. To continue. I get that word right from the text. "But as for you, continue." It's an imperative. It's a command of Paul. Yes, Paul is the one writing. The "as for you" is a guy by the name of Timothy. Timothy is not in Sunday school. Timothy is not graduating from high school. Timothy is a pastor. He's 30 years old. He's been serving the church in Ephesus for now probably 3 to 4 years. Paul is Timothy's spiritual dad. Paul is Timothy's encourager. Paul is Timothy's discipler or mentor, the one that's leading him in his Christian walk. Timothy's spiritual dad is going to die. He anticipates that in this letter. He's writing a final letter to his spiritual son. This context is really important because if you could stop and think about it, if you knew you were going to die today and you wanted to say something to someone you love, what would you say to them? If you knew you were going to die today and you wanted to communicate something to someone you really love, what would you say to them? Paul chose a word to say to Timothy: continue. The Roman government is going to execute Paul. They're going to kill him. This is a goodbye letter. Timothy is not graduating and leaving Paul. Paul is dying and leaving Timothy. And his final word is continue. Keep on keeping on. So students, we want to ask the question, what is Timothy supposed to keep doing? What is he supposed to continue? Well, it says right in our text, doesn't it? We don't have to go anywhere else to find it. It's right here in the text. Continue in the things you've learned. You see, the task of learning in Sunday school or anywhere else in the Christian environment, the task of learning is not to pile up information. It's not to hit Control S on your keyboard and save it to your hard drive. The task of Christian education, no matter what form it takes, is to continue in what you've learned. It's to keep applying what you've learned, to keep obeying what you've learned. Now we need to stop for a second. This is a great time to stop and ask, why should you continue to listen to me? Why don't you just daze off and think about something else? Why should you continue? Why should your eyes be open and you be continuing to consider this? And here's my one answer, is that genuine Christianity is known in people who continue. This really comes down to whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. I'm going to make this as plain as day. I'm not going to beat around the bush. A person who learns things and doesn't put them into practice and continue them is not a Christian. Jesus said in John 8:31, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." That word abide and the word continue are the same Greek word, the same word. So we could say it this way. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples." The idea is that you live life putting into practice the things you've been taught. And that is what is equal to a disciple of Jesus. Learning is not storing up information. Learning is believing something and putting it into practice. Earlier last year, in fact, Pastor Josh preached a profound message here in this church from James chapter 1, verse 22, where he said, James wrote, don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The reason you should be listening right now and listening with the idea of obeying is because that will determine whether you're a truly, genuinely a Christian or not. Is that clear? I can't say it any clearer. If you're here and you're just playing a game, if you just say you're a Christian, these words will stay in this pulpit area and you'll leave this building and it won't matter anything to you. So to continue in what you've learned is really a definition of what a Christian is. A Christian puts into practice. When I say I find this very convicting, I find this very convicting. I'm not bragging, I just want to let you know that I probably listen on a daily basis to two sermons of other pastors every day. At least two. I probably read a handful of Christian articles every single day. I am in a journey reading through the Bible every day. Aside from that, I have devotional time where I spend a great amount of time in thinking and meditating on a particular passage and seeking to apply it. I am filled with Christian teaching, and I am deeply convicted in my own heart of how much I actually put into practice. We live in a nation, students, where you can hear Christian teaching almost all day long. Go to other nations, you won't hear this. We have lots of God's Word available to us. The question this morning is, are you continuing to put into practice what you have learned? From an instructor's point of view, it's very discouraging because the opposite is true. If you're not putting into practice what you've been taught, you haven't learned. Do you see that? If you are not putting into practice what you have been taught, you haven't learned. We know that to be true about every discipline in life, but we sometimes forget about it when it comes to Sunday school and Christian teaching. If my daddy taught me how to build something or do something, and I listen to him and I can understand, I can repeat back, he says to me, "Son, what did it say to you? How are you supposed to do this?" And I go, "You told me I should do this, this, and this." And then if my daddy leaves, and I'm faced with doing that job, and I don't follow through on what he taught me, I learned nothing. Paul says to Timothy, continue in what you have learned. Part of the great commission that we're given in the Bible by Jesus is to go into all nations and make disciples of all people. And we're to baptize them. And then listen carefully to what we're to do. We're to teach them to obey. How many times have I mentioned this in the last few years? We're not to teach them so they store up information. We're not to teach them so they can pass a quiz on the attributes of God. The task of the church is to teach others to obey. And the question I have for the students, for you young people here this morning, are you putting into practice what you've been taught? Why? Why should we put into practice what we've been taught? Well, in the text, Paul gives two reasons. The first reason is because you know who taught you. See what he says? But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. What that means is, put into practice what you have learned because you know who taught you. Young people, think back how many people have taught you. Your parents have taught you. Your Sunday school teachers have taught you. Your youth pastor has taught you. Your pastors have taught you. Perhaps if you have some really nice, godly friends, they've taught you too. There's so many people that teach us. Paul said earlier in verse 10, which was read for us, "You, however, Timothy, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings," and so on. Timothy really knew who Paul was. He had seen him. He knew how much Paul loved him. He knew how much Paul had been gone through. Timothy knew that Paul walked the walk and just didn't talk the talk. Timothy knew that Paul was the real thing. There's also the implication in here in verse 15 that Timothy learned from his grandmother. How many of us can think of grandmothers that have held us and taught us? Why should you listen to them? Answer, because they love you and their life is a display of godliness and faithful living. Why wouldn't you listen to them? Many of our students in Sunday school have got to know our teachers over the years. The reason the Holy Spirit tells us to obey what we taught, because part of the reason is that we have teachers who have invested time, energy, prayer, love in you as students. Why wouldn't you listen to them? Why would you walk away and ignore someone who loves you so much? Who has invested the time of study and preparation to teach you? Who lives the life that they're talking about? They're not hypocrites. They're the real thing. Well, the first reason we should continue to apply what we learn is because we're learning from teachers, whether they be grandparents or parents or pastors or others in our lives. We're learning from people who really care for us. Students, when you were really little and you're playing perhaps in a town and you're on the front lawn and you're really little and you're running towards the road and your mommy came out and said, "Stop! You're going to get hurt." Why would you listen to her? Answer, because she loves you. She cares for you. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy. It's an amazing concept. Why wouldn't you listen to people who love you and care for you? Who have taught you? The second reason, which we didn't read, which you can see that Pastor Josh read for us, is because this teaching comes from God Himself. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Your grandparents and parents and teachers and pastors and people in your life are teaching you God's Word, and you should listen to them because of who they are, but you should listen because of who God is. God is speaking to you. You wouldn't ignore God, would you? He's speaking to you and he's providing instruction, correction, rebuke. Rebuke means don't do that. Correction means, hey, don't go that way, go this way. He's teaching you how to live a pleasing life, a righteous life. God is teaching you through his word that this is all you ever need. This word is able to completely furnish, equip a person in life and in doctrine. So continue in what you've learned because of who you learned it from. Not only from your parents, but from God himself. He is communicating. We in this church believe that this Bible is authoritative. It's inspired. There's not any error in it. It's totally perfect and is able to equip you in all that you do. Why would you not listen? So in summary, if you were to ask me why, if you said to me in honesty, why should I keep obeying what my teachers have taught me? Why should I continue to do what they've taught me? And the answer is because they love you tremendously and they have a lifestyle that backs up their teaching. But more importantly than that, it's because God is the one instructing you. This Bible, these 66 books are inspired, breathed out by God. These are God's ideas and words and concepts. And when he says don't do something, he says that because he loves you and he cares for you and he wants your good. When he says do something, it's because he loves you and cares for you and he wants your good. This passage teaches us so much. In a bigger concept, it teaches us what real Christian education is. Real Christian education isn't the amassing of information. Real Christian education is continuing in what you've learned, putting it into practice, being not just a hearer of the word, but a doer. It reminds us that we are only instructed when we live it out. We've only learned if we live it out. The simplest of examples would be if your Sunday school teacher says, do not lie. You don't live that out, you're a liar. You haven't learned. Paul says to Timothy, continue in what you have learned. These verses teach us the importance, by the way, as pastors and parents. Because the Bible teaches us that one of the reasons our kids learn and obey us is because they see our life. If we're living hypocritical lives, if we're telling them to do things that we don't do ourselves, they're not going to listen. They won't listen. One of the biblical reasons people practice what they learn is because of who they learn it from. This verse also teaches us that God's word is all we need. All we need is found in this Bible. It is able to totally equip us for every good work. Question as I end is this. Students, whether you're high school students, university students, college students, Sunday school students, adult students, if you're a student of the Bible, are you continuing in what you've learned? Are you putting it into practice? That's the call. When I was younger, I obeyed my mom and dad, particularly my dad, because I feared him. I really did. There wasn't a man on this planet that loved me more than my dad. There wasn't a man on this planet that was more kind and gracious to me. But there wasn't a man on this planet I was more scared of was when I did something wrong as my dad. I lived in fear for him. But then one day, in 1983, God intercepted my life. And I, who was not even looking, was hit by a train called God. And he gave me a new nature. And I became a Christian. And something changed over those years. I still honored my father. I still sought to obey my father. I still loved my father. But I no longer feared him. I wanted to obey him and honor him because I loved him. Those that are born of the Spirit and have true, genuine faith in Jesus Christ love to continue in what they've learned. They love to obey because they've learned that we love him because he first loved us. We realize the extent of his love. His love wasn't just, oh, I love you. The love of Jesus who gives you these commands and these precepts in his word, this love was displayed on Calvary's cross where the Roman government put him on a cross and they nailed him to that cross and he suffered incredible physical pain. And you know what? Even worse than that, he suffered spiritual pain as your sin and my sin was placed on him. And he did that because he loved us. God demonstrated his love for us. This same Jesus Christ who loves us so much, who loved us first, by simply putting our faith and trust in him, he takes that perfect life that we've never lived and he gives it to us freely by faith alone. He counts us righteous. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we who are sinners could have the righteousness of God. And then for every sin we've ever committed or ever will commit, he died on a cross and suffered eternal damnation in our place. This same Jesus, when he rose from the dead, asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit to live in every single person who has faith in him. And you might ask the question, Pastor Jim, how can I keep obeying what I've been learning? How can I keep obeying what I've been taught? And the answer is God's Spirit living within. Listen to what the Bible says. It is God in us who gives us the will and the ability to please him. So don't leave here today, beloved, saying, oh yeah, I can do this. I can do this. If I knuckle down, buckle down, I can do it. You can't do it. That's why God in mercy gave you the Holy Spirit so that he would give you the will to do it and the ability to do it. And someday this same Jesus is going to come again. And for everyone that he finds faithful, looking for Him, loving Him, seeking Him, continuing in Him, He will accept you blameless and perfect into His kingdom. You say, Pastor Jim, where do you get that? I get that in Colossians 1, where it says that Jesus will perfect everyone blameless if you continue. How are you going to continue? By obeying the Holy Spirit. So we conclude. We conclude another Sunday school season. Some of you are graduating from high school. Some of you are moving on to other things. The question that's before me and you, no matter what your age, are you continuing in the things you've been taught? If you haven't, there's a problem. If you haven't, something is very wrong. But if you are, I can promise you nothing except joy unspeakable and full of glory. Would you bow your heads? I want to pray for you and us. I'm going to invite Sherry to come with the team at this time as I'm praying. And as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm not going to ask for any response from you except for what you do for yourself. I want to ask you the question that is implied in this passage. Are you continuing to put into practice the things you've taught? And it doesn't matter whether you're 6 years old and understand me or 60. The question still remains for all of us. Are you continuing in the things you've been taught? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the expired word of God that is breathed out upon the pages of this book. Thank you that it is absolutely complete, it's perfect, and there's nothing we need beyond it. Thank you for the teachers that we've had in our lives. All of us here this morning can look to parents and grandparents and Sunday school teachers and pastors and others in our lives who have taught us. And so, Father, we're at this place now. We're just asking, Lord, are we doing what we've been taught? Are we obeying? And if not, I would pray, Father, for a special work of grace upon us this morning, that we would repent, that we would believe the gospel, we would reaffirm our trust in you, and we would leave this place ever deeply in love with the one who calls us to obey. And for those of us who can claim some faithfulness, we realize this morning, Lord, it isn't us. It's not that us that have been faithful. In fact, it isn't even us that have continued. It is you that have continued in us and through us. And so we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. We tell you afresh that we love you. We pray that you would continue to work in us your will and your grace, so that we might live lives pleasing to you. And we pray this all in Christ's stead. In his name, amen.